How do people feel about God when bad things happen? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Phyllis Byram, who leaned into God when bad things happened in her life.
You know, I think that's wonderful because it's very difficult. And I meet with a lot of people who get angry with God and they say things to me like, if God is so loving, why did he allow this? And if God could control this, why did he allow this and that? And they get angry. And instead of leaning into God, instead of seeking him, they turn from him.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I find that a very common response with a lot of people, that when bad things happen, people start to think negatively towards God, which is weird because when bad things happen, for example, if you are a sheep or let's say a puppy, you know, you're a puppy, and if something bad or you're a bad sound, naturally you should run to mommy. And why people don't naturally do that means some type of deception has happened. But when you do learn to lean on God when bad things happen, something good can come out of it. For example, look at King David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David goes out and he's out with his men in war and he comes back and his wife and children and everybody's wives and children have been abducted by this other camp, by the Amalekites. And what happens is they all wanted to kill David. They were all so frustrated. They all wanted to die themselves. But instead of, you know, while people were getting angry, King David learned to lean on God. Oh, I'm sorry, he wasn't King David at this time. It was just David, but he learned to lean into God. As he leaned into God, God began to direct his paths and they were able to regain their wives, their children, and all of their possessions and more back.
Yes. Instead of getting angry with God, he turned to God and asked for answers. And that's what I love about King David. Before he was even king, he sought the Lord. And in every circumstance, he did that. And it's a great example to us. And when we go through things, who are we going to turn to? Are we going to turn to a friend? Are we going to turn to drugs? Who are we going to turn to? And my heart, my hope for you, for answers and for to be consoled is to turn to God. And in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. We may not understand why things are happening, but when you turn to God, he can help you through it.
You know, and I know it's hard for someone who's listening. You're saying, yeah, well, that doesn't always happen, or I tried that. But you know, God knows your heart. And when you take a moment to really lean in and lean into the Lord, you will be sheltered from whatever it is that's coming at you. Just learn to take a moment and call upon his name and really lean in.
Yeah, he loves you so much. He's the only one who can heal you. Stay tuned to hear from Phyllis Byram after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver or call them at 303-455-3025.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Phyllis Byram, and she's going to share the heartache and the pain of losing her own child.
Gosh.
So let's welcome to the show, Phyllis. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Kathleen.
So we won't start with this, but we do want to find out a little bit more about you. I understand that you grew up where you had a lot of brothers and sisters. You were in a religious home. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I would say, Kathleen, my parents, they were beautiful people that had a structured home, a routine, seemingly, because we couldn't play beyond the borders of our front yard. Religion, because we had to go to church every single Wednesday for BTU, Bible training, and also on Sundays. But we didn't know the God of the church, neither did my parents. But we knew we were supposed to go there. I didn't know anything about the expressiveness of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God and the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know, moving forward, finishing high school after a young mother having a baby out of wedlock. I was broken because at that time I was still so confused. I was leaving my son behind, finding myself in different relationships and in and out, you know, with no plan and no purpose from there. Moving even further forward, finding Christ after losing my father, I ran into my spiritual father.
Mm. So you ended up having two beautiful children. You had a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about how things were going in their life.
Well, things were going actually great. Even being a single mom, I was able to land a decent job. I worked for the Postal Service from some time. I went into the phone company, worked for there for a while. I was able to provide. But after years, even in moving into ministry and finally growing in God, my daughter Chelsea, she was 13 years old. She had an asthma attack. Inhalers didn't work. 3 days life support, she's gone, you know, going on to be with the Lord. And being in ministry, I just totally didn't know how to handle it, didn't disbelieve because the doctors didn't give me an opportunity to believe that the word of God that I believed in and finally knew, they didn't give me a chance to even exercise that. My son, Jared, he was devastated. He said, Mom, you know, I can't live without her. And he repeatedly got on drugs and landed in prison, which is where he is now. Mm. But he's teaching right now in prison, and God is restoring him, and he should be coming home soon. But it was just very riveting and devastating.
So you had a 13-year-old, and your son was 17 at that age?
Yes.
When she passed away, and it was very sudden, unexpected, and even being a Christian, you know, it's not going to be an easy road.
Right.
There you were, not only that you lost your daughter, but at the same time, in a way, you lost your son to drugs.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about the heartache and pain of a mother who goes through something like that.
Oh, my God. It's something that I could never wish on a worse enemy. I mean, there's no words to really describe it. It's almost as you get an opportunity to say, is God real or are you not real? It's a place where you walk. It's a death walk, if I can say. It's a death walk. It's a place where you have to walk into what is not becomes real. Heart-wrenching, depressing, to the point where I was so broken. I had church people, even in the room, believing God for Chelsea to breathe. The word was that she needed to exhale. And when they unplugged the machines, we waited for her to exhale, and she never exhaled. Here I am, I'm preaching the gospel, I'm before the world, and they're watching me, you know, go down this down spiral. But the only thing I had, Kathleen, was the word of God. It's either, God, you're going to bring me through this, or you're not. And my son, actually, even with him being in prison now, I found out that that turned out to be a place for his seminary, because now he's able to go to seminary school. He's teaching Bible class, and God is fully restoring him in that moment.
Mm. So tell me the steps to healing that someone would take who went through a hard time or a loss.
I would say, first of all, I experienced so many different ranges of emotion. But once I began to settle down and I was allowing God to unlayer me, okay, because I was so wrapped up in grief, I was wrapped up in disbelief, I was wrapped up in anger, I was wrapped up in fear, I was wrapped up in hatred, I was wrapped up in unforgiveness, so many things. Not so much at God, but the people around me that place expectation on me, for the people that said they believed and they didn't believe, for the people that didn't give me an opportunity to believe the word. But when I got to the point where I had to fall to my face of brokenness and just repent, I believe that restoration in that place, coming from a place of grief, it starts with repentance, because you have to forgive people and you have to forgive yourself. You have to labor in the word of God and cling to it for every moment, because what I found that every day that I woke up, Kathleen, I was still having a funeral, okay? Mm. I was still missing my son, hearing the prison bars when they clank and they close without a key that would open up 2, 3, 4 years later. I didn't know what his destination would be. I found myself that I had to keep reaching for God. I had to labor and lay prostrate in prayer. I had to believe, but most importantly, I had to take God at his word to see if it really was real. And after that, I began to see the manifestation of what the word of God was saying. But I had to decide. You first have to decide. You have to agree. And then you have to get to a place where you say, okay, God, I do need help. Sometimes it may take counseling, but I was fortunate enough where the Word of God became a healing balm for me. And I think most importantly, when I began to help other people. Thereafter, Kathleen, I began to do foster care and working with the orphans and children that were terminated and they would never see their parents again. I think that's when healing really began to resonate in my life because I was helping someone else while they were helping me.
How long has it been now since this loss of your daughter and all the healing has been going on?
Actually, 10 years.
That
Chelsea's been gone, but I want to say that it seems as if some days that it was yesterday, you know, if it was yesterday, because I believe that a part of the journey that I'm on has everything to do with what happened. It propelled me into my destiny and the plan that God had for me. It brought me into being found in Christ.
Yeah, and some people would be very upset with God or turn away from God, but you did the opposite. You turned to Him and got your strength, and otherwise you wouldn't even be alive or able to function, it seems.
Well, and I was going to ask Phyllis real quick here, what kept you from turning away from God and turning to God, just real quick?
I was too far gone. I'd seen too many miracles. I knew that He was real. I've seen the manifestation of the power of God, where we would lay hands on someone with cancer and lumps would dissolve. But we would see, even when Chelsea was in ICU as a baby, things in her body were told to dissipate. My son had a growth under his neck, and we laid hands on him as a single mom, and we believed God, and instantly it dissolved under my hand. So I knew God was real, and I was afraid not to believe Him because I had nothing else.
That's good.
And now
That's
you have
good.
Hope for when you pass from life to death that you'll get to see your little princess again.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that keeps me excited about the crown, to live again. And that's what we should do now is live to live again.
Amen. Well, there are people listening who are hurting and pain. And, you know, the process seems so easy the way you put it. But I know that it was years of heartache and pain. And just like you said, it's almost like being in labor. It's laboring, working hard. And so we're going to pray for those right now who need hope and faith and belief in God.
Amen.
I just sense that there's someone right now who is having a hard time leaning into God and saying, how can I lean into Him? How could He have let this happen? And there's someone who's going through something difficult in their life right now, and they don't know what to do. And I have a word for you, which is this. Remember what He's done for you in the past. As Phyllis just shared, I just sense that really stuck out. Remember what God has done in the past. And remember that we might not understand, but that He has a plan for your future. So, Father, I just pray for that individual right now, and that we can remember what You've done. And we take that moment to remember You and to re-invite You back into our life and to follow You all the days of our life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you're going through a hard time, call out to Him and He will be there with you. You're listening to Real Life.